next on Speak Up.
Are you always worried about what others' opinions are of you? It's okay. Have you ever lived with someone with an alcohol or drug problem?
Yep.
Have you ever lived with someone who hits or belittles you?
It all starts right now.
81% of parents don't think dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't mess that up.
I think all,
as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's why we have to control.
Are you so focused on the needs of others or in fixing others so much that you forget about yourself in the process? Do you ignore your own needs? Or do you find your sense of value, meaning, and identity in what others think of you? If so, you may have an emotional condition called codependency. Many women may have this, and it has the potential to destroy their happiness, their career, their health, and their personal relationships. Is it preventable? How can you overcome it? Let's speak up about codependency. Now, I don't know, have any of you ever taken a test to find out whether or not you are codependent?
Never taken a test, but it's worth exploring.
Maybe we should just go over some of this. If you're at home, take a pen, pencil, or pen, or if you are with your phone right with you, you can write it on your phone.
All right, let's see
here
where
goes.
We're at. Let's
Do
see.
You keep quiet to avoid arguments?
Yes.
No.
I've gotten better.
It depends on the situation.
Okay.
Go on.
All right. Second, are you always worried about what others' opinions are of you?
Yes.
Of me or of my performance?
Of you or...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Are you worried about others think about you? You know, is that something you worry a lot about?
Most of the time.
If I care about the people that I'm worried about, then I do. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. That's
fair. Opinions. Okay, have you ever lived with someone with an alcohol or drug problem?
Yep.
No.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, well.
Not to my knowledge. No.
Not to my knowledge.
Not to my knowledge.
You would know.
No.
Because sometimes codependency happens, you know, during that process with
someone. Go on, I like this.
I know, right?
Now, look at this one. Have you ever lived with someone who hits or belittles you?
Oh, thank goodness.
Like verbally. So it's not just physical abuse. It could also be verbal abuse, you know.
No. Sometimes absolutely not.
No.
Okay.
Very good. Because they'd be smacked.
You don't need to answer loud, you know. Don't worry.
I just want to make sure that people hear me.
She said this.
No. This one is important. Are the opinions of others more important to you than your own?
It's situational. I'll be very honest.
I agree.
Yeah, well, I can see
that. That situation.
Work is a hard one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Here another one. Do you have difficulty adjusting to changes at work or home?
Yes.
Do you feel rejected when significant others spend time with their friends, leaving you behind, you know?
I like alone time, so sometimes I'm really okay with that.
I guess that
well, it
can
depends
also depend
too.
On your personality. Yeah. Are you uncomfortable expressing your true feelings to others?
Uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable. I don't think you are.
Well,
you're okay.
No.
Have you ever felt inadequate?
Sure.
Yes.
I think
absolutely.
All of us have. Do you feel like a bad person when you make a mistake?
Sometimes.
Depends.
Sometimes.
I feel inadequate.
Wait, bad person?
Yeah, because some people, if they make a mistake or do something that they wish they hadn't, they start not to look at the behavior, but they think, oh, I am a bad person.
Internalize that as though that's their value.
And I think that is part of the problem here. The other one, do you have so many things going on at once that you can't do justice to any of them? It's just too many things. You say yes to this.
No, I've gotten better. I have to learn.
And you just can't handle it.
Sometimes I have to learn. Yeah.
Do you have trouble asking for help?
No.
You know, that is very common, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
I don't have trouble asking.
Yes,
how so?
We micromanage.
I micromanage, and I think I can do it all. So
that's right.
I am.
And if you do it yourself, you think it's going to be done better than if somebody
else does it.
Yeah, I have a friend that she shared with me that was one of the big issues, you know, growing up. She was always, you know, the older, always helping the younger children, you know, helping parents at home. So you become like, okay, you're the one that has to do it all. And, you know, it was very hard for her, though, to ask for help when she needed it.
Mm-hmm. But she felt does it have to do with I'm being the eldest of the family? My parents were busy, so I kind of like sharing the burden of taking care of my siblings.
And then you become dependent sometimes on caring for others. That is your, what feeds you, is taking care of other people.
Yeah, that's the question about, you know, what others think of you. Because if you say no, maybe they'll think bad, and you think bad about that. So you have, okay, I have to be helping everyone.
I think sometimes with codependency, we look at it as a person being dependent on a person. Mm-hmm. But I think we're now discovering that codependency could be a person being dependent on a task. Yep. Being dependent on
I know someone
who is dependent on being able to do for others. If they are not able to do for others,
that's where they find
because
their identity.
That's exactly. That's where they their sense of identity comes
from that.
From that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And to please other people as well in that sense.
Yeah. Yes. And then we had fun here, you know, when I loudly said, no, I don't.
That's right.
But, you know, now it's very clear to me that I need to be in the position of being a caregiver. Mm-hmm. That's where I find my identity, being a caregiver since I was 12 years old, going to boarding school with a bunch of...
See, you went through all those experiences and having to manage yourself at 12 in those such
not only myself, but my youngest siblings,
too. Oh, they were also with you at
the boarding
school?
Yes, they were there, so I became an instant
for them
mom.
And stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my youngest sibling would come to my bed crying and, you know, 7 years
old.
How old is she? She was 7, so I had 2 younger siblings, 9 and 7. So I became the caregiver very early on, and then I become a nurse, and you know I'm a mom, so I am the caregiver. The only one that I allow to take care of me is my husband. Everybody
else. So, are you okay asking him for help when you need?
Well yes, I am.
You say yes.
Yes.
Yes. We've been married for 31 years, so you develop that,
that kind of trust.
That trust, right? Yeah. But asking for help when you need help, because you feel like you're not in charge, therefore you're not as good as you should be. So, go on. We need to talk more about that.
Okay, well, look at this one. This one goes right straight to that. It says, do you have difficulty talking to people in authority, just as the police or your boss?
No, I'm good. No.
Not really.
You know,
no.
Sometimes people are codependent. You know, they submit themselves. They have a hard time confronting with authority, you know. But anyway, do you think people in your life would go downhill without your constant efforts?
They'd be all right.
She hates to admit it, but yeah.
Well, my husband is stressed right now because I'm not at home with him preparing his lunch and preparing his food. So he's stressed.
So he's not going to survive without me.
He said that he's not going to survive without me.
Wow.
And, of course, the classic one is, do you have trouble saying no when asked for help?
I'm learning. No, I think I got to a healthier place.
Yeah.
Where I don't feel like I have to say
yes all the time.
At everything. If I am unable, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I've gotten better. Because at one point it was like, okay.
See, you've established yourself because you're talking about work and you've established yourself because I'm in a new role where somebody has said, this is a young adult, we're going to put her in a position of leadership. I feel like I got to show up to everything and I got to do everything really well.
Right. That doesn't necessarily mean you are codependent, but we have somebody here that will help us understand this a little more. Dr. David Sedlacek is a professor at the Theological Seminary at Andrews University, and we're very happy you're here with us because you are an expert on this. And I know that because you see and you've treated and you've counseled a lot of people with codependency. You saw some of those questions. Are those some of the questions that we ask someone? That we see in a codependent?
Absolutely. But I'm an expert from another reason, too.
What?
I'm working on my own codependency.
So have personal experience
with this.
So tell us a little bit. Is it different, a male perspective, you're a male, from a female perspective in terms of the behaviors and the issues surrounding codependency?
Well, you know, I'm not so sure that there is a major difference. Mm-hmm. I think the origins of it, you know, come from the beginning of creation. You know, in Genesis 2:24, you know, men and women were naked and unashamed.
Yeah.
And I think the core of codependency is shame. Mm-hmm. And when sin came into the world, began diminishment, which is shaming the other person. Adam shamed Eve. Eve shamed Adam, and they shamed God. And so we've all been doing that ever since. And,
a lot of that
self-diminishment, we've internalized it from messages we've gotten, and then we diminish ourselves in the process.
Well, we have a lot more questions. Yeah. We can understand this better, but we need to take a break. So when we come back, my Speak Up friends will come, and we'll ask more questions about this. We are speaking up about codependency and women, and Dr. David Salachek is helping us. So Dr. Salachek, you're telling us about some issues related to a women's experience. What would be some of the root causes for it? Does family matter, culture? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Both of those things matter. You know, if a woman is raised in a culture where women are devalued, where they're not affirmed as equal, then that is a setup, you know, for codependency very often. And if you live in a family where women are not treated, you know, as even in this culture, you know, if women are treated poorly as girls in the family, they're going to be set up to be more likely to be codependents.
Give us some examples. Do you mean treated poorly, like being abused verbally, or just mistreated, like in a dysfunctional family picture?
Well, however the message is given and received, it is that women are less than men.
In terms of gender, that takes many different forms.
Okay. But whenever that happens, that's a setup.
For codependency.
Yeah.
So in terms of, we often think, well, at some point, we need to depend on someone. Can you explain to us the difference between being a codependent and being a healthy person that needs others in their life?
I would use the term interdependent for people who are in healthy dependence. We all need each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that's biblical. No man is an island. I mean, we're all, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we all need each other. We all have different roles and functions. So we're all interdependent. But codependence is a counterfeit of that. You know, it is an unhealthy form of interdependence where it's based in I don't know who I am, and so I'm getting my sense of identity from you.
Okay, so that's a hallmark. It's like I'm lost here, but I need you to fulfill that for me. So it's interesting because in many cases, somebody then who is a codependent may be in a relationship where they are enabling the other person, doing everything for the other person, and not helping the other person instead of helping. They think they're helping, but they're
not. That's right.
So explain that for us a little bit. How does this enabling take place with codependency?
Well, enabling is intended to be love. I want to try and help this person. I care about them. I see them, you know, doing things. You know, some form of addiction is an example of that that very often occurs. And so I want to help them, and so rather than let them experience the natural consequences of their choices,
of their behaviors and choices,
You know, I kind of step in. For example, let's say a man, just for example, is drunk on the weekend and doesn't make it into work on Monday, and so a codependent would call in and say, "Well, my husband got the flu or he's sick," you know, so I lie. Or
instead
I'm not totally truthful.
Really,
and so I intervene instead of saying, okay, you call off and tell them
why
you're not here.
Right. That's like the story I was telling you guys earlier about the, it must be so hard when it's a parent-child relationship. Her own son is an alcoholic. She knows it, but he says, "Mom, I have nowhere else to go. Okay, move in with us." Well, she was giving him the opportunity to live in a nice, comfortable place and continue doing what he was doing,
enabling.
And it got enabling him and continued. And finally she said, there was one last time, and she said, "I can't do this anymore. You're gonna have to go. He found himself on the streets for a while, and she knew that. And as a mother, I can't imagine the heartbreak, but you know what? It was only until forcing him out like that that he woke up and he went into a treatment center, and he's getting himself together.
So he had to face the result, is what you're saying.
Well, and so did she.
And that
he did.
Helped him.
Right.
So in the beginning, she was not maybe helping as much, as even though it was out of love. So a codependent may think they're helping. So Ju, you're describing
well, I'm just
your situation.
Thinking here, as a mother, I don't have anything as as harsh as having an alcoholic child at home. But I have adult children. And so we think, well, it's the economy. It's really hard for them to get up there. So am I doing the job of a parent, a loving parent? Am I being not teaching them that they should go out there and fly? So it's the lines are very blurred. And I hope that I'm trusting that I'm doing the right thing at the right moment.
How can she know? Is there a way to know whether she's enabling versus...
It seems like there's some kind of a thin line.
Or any parent who is actually watching.
Yeah. A lot of adult children are living with their parents these
days.
They are.
I'm actually, even like culturally speaking, like Filipinos, we live with our parents. It doesn't matter whether you're 40 years old, 50 years old, we live with our parents. So is that a bad thing?
Well, again, it may or may not be, but here's a fundamental principle. Is what I'm doing as a parent assisting my child to grow, or is it keeping them in a dependency role?
Got it. So that's the line.
And so that's kind of that line that we try to encourage. Is it really supporting them, helping them launch, helping them grow into the fullness of the person?
Emotionally and
in every way.
Intellectually.
In every way.
Not just grow in size, but really grow in their experience.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So if that is something that you're making them more dependent on you, then self-reliant in a certain way, then you have to reassess the situation.
Yeah.
So how do you help someone, let's say, we've listened to some of the questions, we're seeing ourselves in this picture, and you're someone who has experienced that, you shared with us. So what are some of the key steps that we can take to overcome codependency?
Well, first of all, one of the key things is to help people differentiate.
Differentiate their... Explain to us.
In other words, to develop a solid sense of who they are apart from others. In other words, I have to answer the question, who am I alone, before I can answer the question, who am I in relationship? Most of us, we want to go to the second one first, but we don't have a sense of who we are, of our own value and worth. And so once I establish that, you know, there are other things that I can do too. For example, go to a support group is often helpful, where I can allow other people to see me, where I can be vulnerable, where I can be open and can talk about my tendencies.
So like
to
a 12-step Christ-centered group is helpful. Because then they can share their experiences, you can learn from their experiences, and you can share and be accepted without being afraid of being judged.
Right. Another thing I think it's important to understand is that codependency, people who have it are just as much at risk as, say, the addict is. It's just as damaging. You know, they can die from that just like the addict can die from his or her addiction. And so some people need even a higher level of treatment, like perhaps even a residential treatment for codependency, because it's that toxic for them. And so there are all kinds of levels of treatment.
It all depends how deep you are in this.
Okay. Yes, indeed.
So in terms of being people of faith, and this is, you know, we are unashamed about that, how does God help us in that process of overcoming codependency?
Well, one of the things I love about God is he always supports us in making our own choices.
Right.
He doesn't enable us. He allows natural consequences to occur. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, God just sees us for who we are. He doesn't love us to death the way codependents do, but he loves us to life.
And so
to me, that's a beautiful aspect of the way God relates to us.
Oh, I love that. Because he does allow us to make choices, and we know he loves us, but we also know there are consequences. And so for parents, and if parents are watching us, allowing children and whatever decisions they make to actually have some kind of consequence out of it doesn't mean you don't love them.
Right.
But that's actually helping them to grow.
Well, God chastens those whom he loves.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, that was very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Salacek, for helping us understand this a little more. For more information, please visit our website, hopetv.org/speakup. There you can find more resources and also download our Speak Up Notes of Codependency. This is an easy resource that you can use. You can share with your friends and also your family. And send us your comments and your questions on Facebook. When we come back, the Word of God will speak up on this issue. Stay with us. We are speaking up about codependency. And what did you guys learn about this issue with Dr. Selechek. I mean,
it's deadly, or it can be deadly.
No, but there's treatment.
It can be deadly.
There's treatment.
This is serious. Have you known someone who actually died because they were overdoing it for others people?
It sent someone in.
I know. For themselves.
Sorry, I know someone who has sent them into a place of extreme worry because they were so codependent on this particular relationship. Mm-hmm. Where the person is, what they're doing. Oh, they didn't call me today. They must be mad. Oh, well, when they came over here, they looked upset. It's something I did. And I'm like, maybe. Just maybe they had a bad day on their own.
That's right.
But it sent that person into, like, extreme worry, which could probably eventually take you out. Because, I mean, that stresses you.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's exhausting.
It's where it strains your heart, I guess.
Right. It will strain everything.
Yeah.
It's the road that it takes you. I really appreciate the interdependence aspect that he clarified for
the
us.
The difference between a healthy dependency
right,
from each
because
other.
Because being married to someone for the past 31 years, I cannot think about life without him around and vice versa. So I think this is healthy in a way, but will I be a whole person one day when he's gone? Will he be a whole person the day that I am gone?
That is the question. See, the differentiation, though, that was very helpful, wasn't it, to find out you can still love your husband and depend on him in a healthy way, but you should have your own identity separate from his
him.
Identity, right? And likewise with parents, children, or boyfriends, girlfriends, friends, what we see sometimes with a codependent person is that they become so enmeshed, if that's the word, with the personality, with the other person, that they don't know who they are outside of that relationship.
And roles. I think we should be thinking about roles too. At one point in your life, you have the role of being a mother. You're always going to be a mother, but the role the
changes. You become a friend
You're always going to be a mother or a father, but the way you interact with your child might be different.
From the child.
From the child point of view,
to the
from
adult
your point, point of view. Because then, otherwise, if you don't do that, you're going to be an enabler of behaviors that are no longer appropriate for the developmental age of the child.
So allowing the child to make their own decisions.
And have the consequences of those decisions.
That's right.
Which
that's
is very hard sometimes for parents. And to separate the point, the fact that, okay, I love them, that's why I will let them.
Otherwise, the cycle, don't you imagine the cycle of a child that's raised that way? It's just going to continue.
Oh, they're going to have a harder time as they go as adults and will be codependents as well.
Right.
Now, does the Bible have anything to say about this, do you think?
I mean, it does say trust in the Lord. I think a part of codependency is because maybe there's a lack of trust somewhere within self. Maybe one's process. Maybe they feel like, or an individual feels like they need to latch on to another person for a
security.
Greater reason for security. But the Bible does share so much on it.
So,
and even the Lord gave us dependency to make our own choices, right?
I think you have the word for that.
All right, I'll be reading from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. It says here, fear of man will prove to be snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord, remember, trust in the Lord is kept safe.
So
there's a trust factor in there too. And I think that once we get to the point of codependency, we're not in a safe space anymore. Because if you're codependent on a person,
everything
that person
in this life,
all their stuff is in
flexible.
Their hand.
Yep. Anytime you depend on anything in this world, I don't care what it is, behavior, substance,
person.
A person, all of that can be gone.
Even
your own
and how do you fare? How do you fare once all of that stuff
once
is
all
gone?
That's gone?
Right.
Then
what's
who
left?
Are
your identity
you?
Is gone.
And that's I think what this is also saying, because once you know Christ and God in a way that is personal, and you know and you have your identity based on what
he thinks
of you, then no matter what happens to you, no matter where you are in the world, no matter the tragedies you can face, you're able to maintain that identity in Christ.
Amen.
Because you trust him.
That's right.
So that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
We learned that codependency takes two dependent individuals. The good news is that while you're half of the problem, you are also 100% of the solution. Go to our website and take a self-assessment test. Seek a mental health professional or counselor as needed. You can also attend a group session, a 12-step group, as it was mentioned. Learn to recognize the symptoms of codependency and rely on God for the wisdom to overcome this unhealthy emotional state and to live more fully. To download our Speak Up notes, go to our website at hopetv.org/speakup. If you would like prayer, call us at 1-888-446-7388 and connect with us through Facebook by sending your questions and your comments, because we would love to hear from you. We will see you next time to speak up on issues that matter for your whole health and your happiness.